called it the most important find in the last 60 years, or the archaeological find in the last 60 years. It was the Gospel of Judas. Now, if that's not a contradiction in terms, I don't know what is. The Gospel of Judas. After being lost for 1,700 years, it was recently restored and authenticated and translated. But probably what makes this so important is its contradictions of the Bible. And I don't know, but it seems like the things that are coming now are coming to shake our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And I'm going to take a moment in the weeks to come. I'm working on it. I'm going to talk about the Da Vinci Code. I have to. You say, well, no, don't spend any time on that. But when people think that Joan of Arc is Noah's wife, that's true. That's someone's survey. That's how much we know about the Bible. That information was given to us this past week at workers' meeting by one of the professors as they survey Bible knowledge. And so if people have no more knowledge about the Bible than that, you know I have to speak to the Da Vinci Code because they might believe that. And the Gospel of Judas is one reason why we have not accepted some of those books into the canon, into the 66 books that we use in our Bible. There's a Gospel of Mary and a Gospel of Thomas. These are Gnostic writings. The Gnostics always had something secret, some secret knowledge. They felt that our human bodies were not good, that the human form was not good. And so they felt that Judas put into motion the event that would release the Spirit of Christ from its physical constraints. And so Jesus and Judas got together and they planned for him to betray Christ. That's blasphemy, isn't it? And so I'd like to show you just a little of what it has to say, this book of Judas. It says, and it says it in the Gospel of Mary and the Gospel of Thomas, each one of those books say that they were the preeminent one. Judas was closer to Christ in his book. He was the beloved disciple. And I quote, and this is what's in that book, knowing that Judas was reflected up something that was exalted, Jesus said to him, step away from the other disciples, and I shall tell you the mysteries of the kingdom. For someone will replace you, but I know that you will grieve a great deal. But one who will replace you, and in order that the 12 may again come to completion with their God, you will be cursed for generations, but you will come to rule over them, talking about the other disciples. You will exceed them all. Now, this is being said in the Gospel of Judas. Step away from the others, and I shall tell you the mysteries. Lift up your eyes and look at the clouds and the light. And the star surrounding it. The star that it seeds and leads the way is your star. Talking about Judas. Muslim scholars had looked at this particular Gospel of Judas. And when they looked at a portion of the manuscript, they concluded that Jesus was not the one who was to be crucified. That it was actually Judas. That's blasphemy. See, that's why you don't want to believe it. And when we, if we hear something on the news, we take it as gospel. without having knowing what's in it. And then it goes on to say, you will exceed them all, talking about Judas. And you will grieve a great deal. But it will enable Christ to ascend to heaven. You see, Judas and Jesus got together. And so when we read in Matthew chapter 26, how Judas, and the scripture that was read, kissed Jesus to betray him, they already had that worked out. And the Gospel of Judas says that Judas died by the hands of the other disciples. They stoned him. Now, this has nothing to do with the Bible, does it? If you know a little about the Bible, you know that Judas died. He hung himself. Remember that? That's how he died. In fact, his body burst open. The dogs ate it up. Not stoned by the disciples. In fact, the Bible calls him a thief in John 12:6. Jesus predicted that Judas would betray him. Guess who complained when the expensive ointment was poured all over Jesus? Who complained about it? How expensive it was? It was Judas. Who sold our Lord for the price of a slave 30 pieces of silver? Judas. Judas. In fact, when I was reading more in the background about Judas, you know what I found out about Judas? I was surprised. If you ever read the book, The Desire of Ages, it has some very interesting things to say about Judas. It said he had one major problem. I thought he had more than one. But it emphasized just one. Now, you want to get this. Because the one can give you a lot of problems when you have one problem that consumes you. His problem, he had problems with money. He was stingy and greedy. That's right. Stingy and greedy. And he had problems with money. He was in charge of the money. In fact, he was bright. He was admired by the other disciples. He was bright. Intelligent. So he didn't have much patience for the other disciples because of his headiness. But he had problems with money. And you know what threw him off? If you ever read John chapter 6 and verse 53. Read on from 53, and there's probably 7 or 8 texts that have to do with Jesus telling what he was really about. And when Jesus shared this, that's when Judas went off. Jesus says, I need to read it because I want to make sure at least I get that. John 6 and verse 58, and then I'll be finished and we'll have communion. And in verse 52, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life. You have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And he goes on and talk. When Judas found out that Jesus was not giving anything materialistic, he backed off from Jesus from then on. He was never. Isn't that way some people are that? When they have gotten all they can get out of you, don't they dump you? Have you ever met anyone like that? They're only interested in material things. And then once they've gotten it all, they're gone. Judas was that way. When he found out that Jesus was not about things, but Jesus was talking about spirituality, he backed off. Was never the same again. And what, you know what's amazing about this whole story? Jesus knew that that was in his heart. But guess what? Could you have a friend like that? Like Judas? And then he kisses Judas. Judas kisses Jesus and then stabs him in the back. Anything worse than that? I was sharing that when I, as a chaplain, doing counseling, so much counseling. One of the most difficult things to deal with as it relates to couples is when couples or someone has had an affair. It's difficult, almost impossible to repair that. Because the other person feels that I've been sleeping with the enemy. The hurt that they feel is beyond compare. If you don't ever stay away from that. Judas was acting like he cared for Christ, stabbing him in the back. And guess how Jesus treats him? Jesus says, friend. Did you hear that? Jesus called Judas friend. Folks, that says volumes about Jesus. You have to smile. The gospel of Judas, the gospel is about Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus. You're going to hear more. I think this is only the beginning, Dan. I think we're going to hear more junk before the end of time. That's going to challenge you. If you do not study and give your heart and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, you're going to hear more mess. I think it's only beginning. And we don't do much reading anymore, so we get whatever they give us, we take it and run with it. And that's it, and we got it. The gospel of Judas, they're trying to make him out to be a good guy. Jesus is the good guy. Amen. Jesus calls Judas friend. Now, I don't know about you. But Jesus, if he would call Judas friend, then there's hope for me. He would let Judas sit at his table. That's right, Judas was there. The Last Supper, Judas was there. Is there anything so bad that you've done that Jesus wouldn't let you sit at his table? No. He has a place for you at his table. Because what he's trying to do is save us. Amen? He's trying to do everything that he can to save us. I thank you for being here today. I thank you, Fallbrook family. You know what happens on communion in some other churches a long way from here? When they hear about communion, they don't come to church. You've been places like that, haven't you? Pastor announced communion. I'm going someplace else because I had to hear a good sermon today. I know the pastor's going to have a short sermon, so they go someplace else. God wants you right here at his table. Amen? Don't ever run from God's table. He has a place for you right here. We're going to celebrate that in just a moment. We're going to wash one another's feet. I hope when you do that, you know something? If we didn't have this service, because we get dusty and dirty, and we're just like Judas. Some of us have been like Judas this past quarter. And we get dirty and dusty. You know, if we didn't have this service, you know what we would have to do? We would have to have this baptismal tank right here in the center, and then we every Sabbath we'd come in and all of us just getting in, just we'd just be dunking each other, right? And I'd have to go down first. I'd have to get Dan to do me. Because we get dirty. So God has provided a way whereby we won't have to be baptized every week. Amen? We just wash one another's feet and think about Jesus. And so as you wash one another's feet, I want you to focus on Jesus just cleansing you. Amen? And then when we come back to the table, we come back happy. Amen? Happy for who he is and what he's done. Please don't focus on all the wrong you've done last quarter. It's too much. If we were to put it together collectively, we'd just have to go on out of here because we wouldn't be worthy. But Jesus has a place for us. And when you come together and you wash each other's feet, if you do it as a family, take just a moment to pray together. Would you do that as a family? For some of you, it might be the first time you've had a prayer together as a family because of you going everywhere and you scatter. So would you do that? If you wash one another's feet, if I'm just pray. Just to say thank you, Lord. And so we're going to do that at this time. We're going to separate. If you did not come prepared, there are times people come, they come from, they're visiting, or they missed the Sabbath, didn't know this was communion. You didn't prepare to wash one another's feet. I want you to be comfortable. Please, you can just stay here, just sit, meditate, and we'll be back and we'll come to the table and we'll partake of the bread and the grape, and then we'll go home. Amen? So I want you to feel comfortable here. Don't feel you have to do that. If you want to come and watch, if you've not done this before, you can do that. You can participate. We want you to feel good in God's house. Amen? So may that be your prayer today. We're going to, our deacons are standing at the door to help you. There's an area in our fellowship hall for our families. If you'd like to wash feet as families, you're welcome to do that. And there's an area for our ladies also in one of our classrooms, and also an area for our gentlemen. So whatever you feel comfortable, we have made provisions for that. So we're going to ask you to dismiss it this time and then come back promptly, and we'll come at the come to the table and partake of the emblems. So at this time, you can consider yourselves dismissed to the various areas.